Hello, everybody. My name is Miriam Rico. Today I'm going to be reading to you because my native language is not English, and I sent the PowerPoint. I'm want to just apologize in advance if anyone is offended by what's going to be shared today. Initially, it was more of a writing exercise for me privately. It's part of writing history. I never thought that this would be what I would be sharing to others, but my higher power said, go on and share your experience, even though it's not pretty, even though it's a little bit raw at times. So I apologize in advance if anyone is offended. I'm so thankful to be here, and I, want to thank Judy for this opportunity and just let everybody know that very thankful to be here. So we can start with growing pains. Next, please. My eating history. My history with food. Story of eating compulsion. So many names I could give this. Anyway, let's start with my first memories around food. I remember my stomach hurting, feeling like my navel was going to pop open and out would come all the food. I was a rather thin girl growing up, so I don't know if that uncomfortable sensation came as a result of someone coercing me to eat. Another not so pleasant memory around food from childhood. Thankfully, my mom and dad never forced me to eat. But in my Catholic school, you were not supposed to get up from the table unless the food tray was empty. I remember thinking, how am I going to eat all that food? Those were maybe my first 8 years before the surgery. Next, please. At 8 years of age, my appendix was removed, and things with regards to food changed quite a bit. I began to feel incredibly hungry, gain a lot of weight. At 13, I was rather large, having to buy clothes from the women's section, and then big sizes like 14 and up. I did grow a lot during that time, so I guess it was either that or the antibiotics they gave me to resolve my massive infection post-surgery, which caused incessant hunger. All I can say is that food was a rather complicated theme in my life since very little. At 12, 13, became the good friend I never had. To say I was introverted would be an understatement. Never have I been or will be comfortable around people. Every species is hard to understand for me. Two friends or friend I did have around the teens had a very dysfunctional family and immersed herself in food as comfort. By that time, I had learned to do the same, find company and comfort around food. I remember us stuffing ourselves with chips and some kind of dip. I don't remember if it was cream cheese or onion or cream cheese with onion. All I know is that we would sit, talk, and eat the whole thing in one go. Going out for ice cream was a massive Sunday for each. We would go and swallow the sundae very quickly. Later, we would find other ways of escaping and numbing the pain: cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. At 15, I went to see the movie Dirty Dancing, and I began to cry uncontrollably. Looking at all those thin, beautiful people made me make up my mind. I would lose weight or die trying. I went on my first, but certainly not last, crash diet. I ate oranges for 2 weeks straight, but not a whole lot of oranges. One for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner. That was it. Three oranges, 2 whole weeks. Lost a lot of weight, and I was elated that my school uniform felt too big on me. I continued to eat very little after, to the point where I lost my period for some time. When that happened, I began to eat a little more, but not much. I went from being the ugly duckling to the proverbial swan. Thus, my history with food restriction began. To be considered beautiful and have heads turning when you walk by was something I was not prepared to handle at all. I guess many people who lose a substantial amount of weight got a little nutty when we become dating material. It is something that was not natural to me, but it tells you how to handle all the attention and intentions of people around you. It was around this time I had sex for the first time. Feeling of guilt, shame for having done it before marriage was something that I will never forget. Very tough period, very deep wound to my Catholic girl psyche. I was naive and completely unprepared for puberty. Was not thinking much about food during this late teens period. Cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol had filled that space somewhat. I was popular. I was desirable. Any boy I wanted to sleep with, I could. So I thought I had achieved some measure of success. Being a teen girl, it's easy to judge yourself on how screwable you are. Well, I had achieved that. What was there to be upset about? Early adulthood. Next. After the cigarettes and the pot, there came the cocaine. I love cocaine. Just felt like I could go on for hours. Having felt kind of sluggish and lazy for most of my childhood, this came as a sensation. I didn't even drink or smoke pot that much during this period. I loved the high energy and chain smoking, just talking and talking until dawn most days. I made quite a few interesting characters during this time, including the father of my firstborn son. What a guy. Came to see his son 1 week after he was born. Did he go to the hospital? I don't remember. My dissociation has gotten worse through the years. Anyway, Andre was born, and he was a beautiful 8 pound plus baby, so full of life and healthy. Thank God, I don't know what I'd done with a sick baby. I began to slip down a deep depression. The guilt from having chosen a poor dad for my baby was eating away at me. Around 3 years after I had Andre, I had my first and hopefully last psychiatric hospitalization. I was so depressed, I had lost around 40 pounds in a very short time. Couldn't eat and barely sleep. I said to mom and dad, I need help. I wanted and had planned to buy a gun and shoot myself and had the means to get it. It was in the hospital that I heard the first words of encouragement I had in a very long time. Psychologists who screened me for suicidal ideas at intake said to me, Miriam, you're young. I started to study my career at your age. You have your whole life ahead of you. I was 22, and the fact that this woman made me feel my life was not over for being a single mother was exactly what I needed. Contrary to my grandpa, who made it very clear that to be a single mom was not also embarrassing to our traditional family, but the end of my life and dreams, basically. After hospitalization, I went to outpatient treatment and met Cynthia. First relationship with a woman, more guilt and self-hatred and self-doubt to pile on top of my already fractured Catholic wannabe saint psyche. She had been my psychologist at the outpatient, so some lives were definitely crossed. But ironically, she helped me become the professional I am today. I will not judge her. The affair with her ended quickly, and I met the father of my two youngest, Juan and Angelica. He gave me the kind of attention I ever had from a man. Seemed to be really interested in something more than a one-night stand, and he had a penis. So in my family's eyes, he qualified. Off I was, living with him after a month, and a lightning-fast wedding 2 weeks after we were introduced to each other. That led to a 7-year nightmare where I discovered and was impacted by his use of crack cocaine and alcohol. 3 months into our blissful wedded life, he had pawned off his wedding ring to use drugs, and that was just for starters. I don't remember being in the food a lot at this time, but I was overweight. After the 7 years, I had decided to get thin, get my act together, and leave him. Jelica, my youngest, was going to kindergarten, and that was the deadline I'd put on myself. I had lost all love for Juan if I ever did love him, and had decided with house secured and kids in school, I could do this on my own. At the time, terrified about the loneliness I had experienced being a single mom to Andrew. Left the father of the kids, finally free from that. So what did I do? I got involved with a person 13 years younger than me who used drugs. I guess I was at a rebellious period in my life. I thought I would relive with him some of my younger years and be as careless as I had been back then for a while. It ended up being a 15-year-long relationship that sucked the joy, self-confidence out of me. Being cheated and used for money, yet feeling responsible for this younger person who seemingly fell into desperation every time I wanted out. It was an indescribable period in my life. I really got into the food to numb the desperation and pain. I got to my heaviest at 130 pounds, and I absolutely hated the way I looked and felt. I hated life. That comes away. To say I was desperate at that point in my life would be putting it mildly. I didn't know how to end the relationship with him being my neighbor. And even if we broke up, he would not be going far, just next door. Killer Women reruns back to back and junk food for my outlet. I think I watched those because I wanted to let the anger out somehow, even if it was by vicariously acting out my rage. I frankly don't know how I lived through that time. I was at survival mode. At this point, I had attended a couple of face-to-face meetings in OA, but the fact that they were so far from where I lived gave me the perfect out. Those face-to-face meetings, it was very hard for me to identify with the women who were older and far wiser than me. Phrase, "I am a compulsive overeater," didn't resonate, even though I had been in more diets than I could count. Compulsive overeater, is that even a problem? Does that even exist? Or are these people making up that term? All questions racing through my mind every time I heard someone say it. I was still in my 20s, and the illusion that I am normal, I just need to muster enough willpower to handle this, had not been broken yet. Surely, if I could pull off a 40-day liquid fast, I could eventually get a hold of my eating, I thought. The 20s came and went, and so did the 30s and 40s. Up and down was the pattern every time. I thought I was the problem. I just was a sissy. If only I could get my crap together, it would all work out for good. During that time, I learned that phone meetings were an alternative, and I attended some. But still, it was very hard for me to identify with their stories. I still thought I had control over that first bite. Then came the 50s and type 2 diabetes, the biggest lesson in my life, as I now see it. It wasn't for the fact that my kidneys and other organs were at stake, I would probably still be stuck in the cycle of overeating and restriction that I had known for my whole life. But diabetes gave me the gift of desperation. The day I was able to attend a meeting and say, "Hello, my name is Miriam. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict," and really mean those words, was quite the spiritual experience. After that, I vowed to myself that I would go to any lengths and secure a sponsor quickly. I knew that, left to my own will, I wouldn't last very long. I had had sponsors before, but I wasn't ready back then to take direction from anyone. My whole experience with surrender from that point on has been nothing but a miracle to me. I've learned so much about the disease, about myself, my higher power, and life, that I wouldn't have changed this journey for anything. I truly believe that OA is my home, and I am eternally grateful to God for having directed me here. Working the steps has been an incredible experience. Having a great sponsor, using the tools, being able to get out of my head and into the flow of life, amazing. I've learned so much in a way and through a way that I could never again regret having this disease because thanks to OA, I finally feel cool. Thanks for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope, and thank you all for my life.